What's up, listeners? Just a quick heads up before we jump into the video. You can find this episode as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching Settle Down Podcast on both of those sites. Also, be sure to check out our social media links. We post on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram pretty regularly. You can find that by searching at Settle Down Media on all three of those platforms. So thanks for doing that, and enjoy the In the End Zone podcast. Peace.
Yo, 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 what's popping?
Welcome back, gentlemen. Keaton. Yep,
we're here.
Keaton.
Looks to be like you're in court right now.
Yeah, what's going on?
Listen, I gotta clear the room here. After I posted the video last week where I was in parts unknown, USA, cops were able to geo-track my location and unfortunately get me down. So I am now in legal proceedings, hopefully not to go to jail. You know, I think this is all just a big misunderstanding. Anyway,
what did you do? What are they charging you for?
What'd you do?
Well, I mean, this is from when I got arrested 2 weeks ago. I escaped prison last week, and now look, I mean, I'm in the courthouse, though.
This is the time when you dug your way out with a spoon, right?
Yes.
And this really all just stems because I told a cop he was going to see God, and then I reached for a Bible. And anyway, so.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
During the time that the police officers were trying to get me, obviously I had to fight back. You know, I'm not a bitch. I'm gonna get my licks in. And unfortunately,
there was no swearing in the courtroom.
Unfortunately, I fractured my wrist. I did fracture my wrist. It just so happened that it was this week. So we're here, man. Well, I mean, like I said, I fought some cops, man.
I think the real question is, how many did you take down?
Two.
How many did it take to take you down? Old squad. One.
Well, it took, of the three that I fought, it took an extra one to take me down, but I got two down. So,
He's won?
Exactly. So,
were you just cranking 90s on him, or what was happening with that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, just left, right, uppercut, you know, like real steel. And basically right now it's...
Leave, uppercut.
Yeah. So the reason we're starting a little late is because, we were doing the court proceedings. And so the jury is now deliberating whether or not to give me the guilty or not guilty verdict. So, you know, within 45 minutes, 50 minutes, we should have a final verdict and we'll see what's going on. So this might be my last episode ever.
Not good.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's court, so we'll find out.
Yeah, man. Well,
let's proceed. How's your week been, man?
Week's been good. Once again, I've just been studying. I'm still waiting for an email from the board. Still waiting for it. But overall, though, it's going good. It's going pretty swell. I've just been watching the Stanley Cup Finals, which go Oilers. I think three of us can all agree on that. And I think we can agree that McDavid is from another planet. That man is from freaking Jupiter.
8 points in the last two games. Different breed.
Insane. Insane.
Different breed. Awesome. I'm not gonna lie. But it's been so entertaining. That one assist, amazing. My God. That was filthy.
Insane.
I didn't get to watch it, but I'm sure it was pretty
I thought good. You watched it, Keaton. You were texting throughout the chat.
He was in court.
Oh yeah, you've been in court.
Brother, I'm fighting for my life, man.
You've been getting those ESPN updates, huh?
Something like that.
Oh man.
He hears the notification, he's just like this. At court, like
no, nothing.
Oh yes, Your Honor. Anyways, man. Zach, how about you, bud?
It's been good. I'm hitting some all-time lows for my cut, which has been really nice. I have a second interview tomorrow at 10 a.m. So wish me luck with that. Just as you are wishing Keaton luck, wish me luck as well. Some big moments for the fellas. And then now we have the podcast, so I'm excited to talk some football.
Yeah. Keaton, besides court and your wrist?
Yeah, week's good. Wrist is hurting. Unfortunate for, you know, today, but that's just how life goes. Thankfully I had a brace. They provided one because I couldn't afford one. Right. So it's part of my Miranda rights, but,
it's not part of you.
Yeah. If you can't afford a wrist brace, one will be provided to you. That's literally what's in the Miranda rights. So anyway, week's been good. Oh, yeah, it was like a buy one, get one. It was a BOGO. Yeah, yeah. Buy one, lawyer, get... Yeah, it's like you have the right to remain silent, obviously. Any wrist brace you need, we will be provided to you. If you need to film a podcast at which any time, you are able to do so. That's pretty much about it. So, what else is there to know?
That's the Miranda rights for the In the End Zone podcast right there.
That's the Miranda rights, dude.
I mean, come on.
That's the influencer Miranda rights. That's what happens when you get close to 400 subscribers. So, anyway, we're here.
Well,
let's go ahead and just jump into the. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Ant. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, well, we have a lot to talk about here. Keaton, you know, once again, we wish you the best of luck. Zach, good luck on your interview tomorrow. But, fellas, let's get the show on the roll.
Green 18, red 48. Settle down, settle down. Wide 80, sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Right.
This is a
great game. I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
Oh man, you know what? I could have sworn that Keaton, you know, made a different intro at one point. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, no, that's all good.
I thought he was trying to surprise us, but
who wore it?
I would say you wore best.
You definitely wore best. Look at you, stud. I'm surprised they gave you a tux. Anyways,
I said drip god. That's what the judge called me.
Ew. Anyways, fellas,
if you don't believe that there's a judge in this room,
order in the courtroom. Please proceed.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Let's just get right into this, all right? So, has Isaiah Bugs fallen off the deep end? Like, this man, I swear. Okay, so rumor has it that Isaiah Bugs, his latest arrest was due to breaking into the mother of his child's home with a tire iron and dragging her down the stairs. And the Chiefs are aware of this arrest, and they have declined to comment about any of this. And on top of this, it has been confirmed as well that he has been arrested for the second time now for the domestic violence and burglary.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, seems a little egregious, right? Like, I don't get it, man. I don't understand where these guys come from. Like, I just doesn't make any sense. And truth be told, a tire iron is insane. There's so many weapons you could use. It's a insane. Tire iron. I don't get it, man. It's
that shit's scary.
I don't. And this, I think, also plays into a large part about, you know, what we've talked about for the past few weeks. But where do these guys come from? Like, how is there not quality control? There should be at least 5 to 10 quality control coaches for each team that just make sure. Just make sure everybody is doing their thing. And
the Chiefs might need 20 at this point.
The Chiefs might need one for every player but Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's bad.
For real.
I mean,
I personally don't get it because I have never heard of anything that this guy has done when he was in Detroit. Have you guys?
No, and he was decent on Detroit.
He was good.
Because when we posted that, when we posted that first clip, everyone was like, oh, like we miss him in Detroit. He was so good in Detroit. Like he hasn't even signed with the Chiefs, all of this. And I was like, okay, like I guess he was a good guy. I mean, he was decent there. He was a fan favorite. He goes to the Chiefs, Kansas City, man. Something's happening. This just builds on their offseason. It just continues to build. It's just not stopping. It's ridiculous at this point.
Doesn't make a
I don't even know what else
sense.
To say. We've talked about this for the last multiple weeks. It's insane. Yeah. Never see anything
personally,
like
that. Just, you know, playing devil's advocate. A tire iron's a little like, I don't know. Doesn't it's not super efficient. I would go with an axe.
Fuck, dude. You're not helping your case in court.
Sorry. Well, listen.
Allegedly.
Objection.
Had to put that out there. Can't use that after I say objection. No, but I mean, it's an ugly look. Like I feel like week after week, we're sitting here, we're saying
something, bro.
Kansas City Chiefs are doing this. The Kansas City Chiefs are doing that. And then we have these little doofuses in our comments saying it's like five players making everyone else look bad. Dude, it's every week that there's at least one or two people in that organization or connected to in some large part causing chaos, causing mayhem, man.
I also love the Chiefs fans where they're like, it won't matter next year because we're going to three-peat. It doesn't matter. We're the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm like, dude, an offseason like this matters.
It does.
It's like important.
This matters.
Going back to what Keaton said too, I don't care that it's maybe five people on the team that this is happening to. It's still affecting them. Like this is still every single week. It's still, like you said, Kansas City Chiefs. It doesn't matter if it's only five people. Mm-hmm. We're still bringing it up every single time. We're still bringing it up. It is.
I don't think we've had one good news in the offseason for the Chiefs. Like one
I think the only time, the only time we've ever had good news is besides them winning that episode when we talked about them winning.
Like
the
first
only
week
good
of the offseason.
Right.
Tough
insane.
Tough look for
I
Bugs.
I don't know, man.
I mean,
what are you going to do?
Called it. Fuck Bugs, dude. Fuck him. He really is just a shitty human being.
He sucks.
He is. He's a loser.
Not good.
Loser. Oh, man. Well,
all right.
Diving into the next thing, though, that we have going on here. Zach, going back on what you said last week, will the Giants continue to be unlucky with their signings? Now, the Giants are signing all UFL running back Jacob Sailors, who went undrafted in 2023. And he put up 460 rushing yards, 151 receiving yards, and 8 total touchdowns this spring. How is this going to look with the Giants?
He's not even going to play. He's going to be a special teams guy.
Yeah,
there's no way he actually plays. No disrespect to him, but
or he does.
They already signed. No, there's just no way, man. I mean, maybe. I mean, they're one of their weakest points is probably the running back room now. I'll say that. So there's a chance he plays, but I mean, realistically, what was his name again?
Jacob Sailors.
Let's see where he went to school.
He went to East Tennessee State in Tennessee. Appeared in 51 games, had 3,800 rushing yards on 608 carries, and 33 rushing touchdowns. Associated Press FCS, second team All-American, first team All-SoCon, and SoCon Player of the Week.
I mean, he seems like he's decent, but again, typically if you're really good from a school like that, you get drafted. And I'm looking at their depth chart right now. They signed Devin Singletary, which I know was going to be the starter. I think he's actually a decent starter. And then the second, third, and fourth guy, I've never heard of. Eric Gray? Nope. Tyrone Tracy? Nope. Joshuan Corbin? Nope. And then the guy that you just said. So realistically, this might not even be about the Giants. This is about him. I don't even know if he's going to make the team. I mean, there's a real possibility he doesn't even make the team at this point.
I agree. He'll do practice squad stuff.
Yeah.
But so. I think if anything, I agree with Zach. I think he's going to end up on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, dude, don't see it. I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, I could be tripping, but maybe not. You never know.
Never know.
We never know.
Going into our next segment, though, Dude, this one is really bad, fellas. And I don't know if you guys have seen this all pulled up, but is this the worst top 100 players list we've ever seen made? It is one of the worst I have ever seen. And before I continue, because I'll pull up the actual CBS Sports article that we get to look at, guess who they have at 20? It's a quarterback.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is 20. Dude, it's not pulling.
I mean,
up.
That's okay, fair.
Here we go. Aaron Rodgers, Keaton.
I'm stuck on an ad.
I've been stuck on multiple too. Ads. They're like,
is this website broken?
I got it.
Whatever. CBS.
There's like so many.
Sage.
Yeah.
Hey, can you guys do this?
Yes. There we go. Yes, thank you. Okay.
That's a lot better. Thank you.
I don't have a problem with the top 10. I think these are the top 10 best players in the world. Where you put them, that's up to you. So we have Patrick Mahomes, Myles Garrett, Trent Williams, Tyreek Hill, TJ Watt, Josh Allen. I know you're not going to like that one, Keaton. Justin Jefferson, CMC, Nick Bosa. Again, I understand it. I love this. I think this is awesome. Max actually getting his credit at 11. Sauce Gardner at 12 is too high to me. Jamar Chase at 13 is a little high. Chris Jones. But then you keep going down. It's like some of these guys are great. Dexter Lawrence at 19. Realistically, I think he's great. I don't think he's the 19th best player in the world. Aaron Rodgers at 20 is nuts. Nuts to me. He tore his Achilles and is 40. 40. Hasn't done anything with the Jets.
Yeah.
Keep going down. We have CD Fred at number 22. Shout out to Fred. Josh Allen is not the 23rd best player in the league. Don't care if he broke out last year. Not the best 23rd best.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. No way.
Tristan Wirfs deserves it. I'll tell you what. You know what bothers me? You know what bothers me?
Trent McDuffie at 30 is nuts too. But you just keep going down this list. There's a lot of guys where I'm like, ooh, it's like CJ Stroud at 38. I don't even think he had Brock on this list now that I think about it. He has Brock at 85. I'm like,
I'll tell you what. Like, you know what's crazy? And maybe I'm a homer, but DK Metcalf was not on this list. And I get it. Didn't have that a crazy year last year. But like the fact that Devin Witherspoon was the only Seahawks player to make it, which shout out Witherspoon, is kind of nuts.
DeMarcus Lawrence over DK.
Yeah.
55th. Oh my
God. Yep. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Aiden Hutchinson
and Brian Burns. Brian Way Burns at 96 is pretty crazy.
Dude, you know what? I'm upset that KJ Osborne isn't on this list.
Well, they should have put Jake Bobo in there.
Oh my God.
They should have.
Okay. I'm about to close this stupid ass article. Who is at 65? Read that name. Someone.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Holy moly, how?
Justin Herbert's father, really.
What? George Pickens at 68.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's pretty crazy. If DK Metcalf is not on it, George Pickens is absolutely not on it.
Oh my God.
I guess maybe they're thinking, okay. I think I know what's going on here. This happened for you at the beginning of the NBA season because you thought when they did like the top 75 players in the NBA this year, you were like, how is Shea Gilgeous top five already? What this is saying is that by the end of their prediction is that by the end of this year, George Pickens is going to have a breakout. Like, he's going to be a top 68 player.
No, it's not. Look at the article. Look at the actual
title. That's my guess.
NFL top 100 players of 2024. Like, this is going to be like the top 100 players like they typically do with NFL Network.
Yeah,
like,
never mind. That's ugly. That's ugly.
List. Horrible list.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Dude, honestly, I'm flabbergasted. But I think the Ravens led that with the most amount of players on a team with 7, I believe it was. The Niners probably had 6. Maybe the Chiefs had close to that too. But, I mean, that all kind of makes sense. Some of those, though, man, fucking A, man. I don't know what to say. I am flabbergasted. Yeah. Flabbergasted.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. It is pretty bad. But speaking about the Chiefs, will Travis Kelce retire if the Chiefs three-peat? And this is something that we haven't really, I guess, heard a lot about, but I saw an article that said that he's envisioning himself retiring on his own terms. And I'll actually read into this, right? So he talked about this on the New Heights podcast with his brother. He said, citing his older brother. I think you were very fortunate that you were able to go out on your own terms, and that's the goal, said Travis, who is preparing for his 12th season in the league. If I can go out on my own terms and not have something happen to my body, like a big-time injury to where I have to step away, that's the biggest goal in football, to be able to do it on my own terms. Continue to go down. His brother obviously retired last year. And then he said, I love playing it at a level where I know I can have a bunch of success. I know I can go out there and catch a flat route and turn it into a 15 to 20 yard gain and make a few guys miss. The moment that I can't do that, that's basically when he's thinking that he's going to retire. So, I mean, it seems like he's still passionate about it and there's really no reason to retire. But, dude, I don't know. Will Travis Kelce retire after the three-peat if they do three-peat? Like, is it a possibility?
I don't know.
He's getting up there age. He's almost 35.
He did just sign a two or three-year contract too, though. I know that.
Dude. Hey, especially, dude.
It's entirely possible, honestly.
I don't want to bring this up, but what if he settles down with Taylor? I mean, they might have a kid.
Settle down?
Get married. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know.
I agree. Yeah.
It could be something. Could he retire after the three-peat? I don't know
for sure. Something we can
see, but and again, that article might be taken out of a little bit of content or context just because it's not necessarily something that he's talking about where someone's asking him specifically, are you going to retire? They're kind of pulling pieces from his and his brother's podcast, but it is kind of in context as well because he said that he wants to go out on his own terms in a three-peat. That's something no one's ever done. That would be his own terms. So,
well, I could see it. I don't know. You know, he's 34 years old. You win a ring this year. You're 35. You've won three Super Bowls. You're four-time All-Pro first team, three-time second team All-Pro, nine-time Pro Bowler. You're getting you're going to get a gold jacket. You're one of the greatest tight ends. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you already got your statue. You got the gold jacket. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 NFL records. You know, I don't know. And you got a good podcast. So
dude, they really
I will say, totally see it.
Dude, both of them would be either really good analysts or just announcers or good coaches because they explain things very, very well. Also, Tom Brady, I'm really excited about that, by the way. We got to see this a little bit with the UFL, which I'll bring up later. Not specifically Tom Brady, but we got to see him in the booth. Tom Brady's a fucking genius. That man is a genius. He is one of the smartest dudes I've ever seen. Him talking for these UFL games, I'm like, dude, what the hell? Like, this is going to be Tony Romo on steroids.
Yeah, I was talking to Zach about this, and I said, you know what? Tom Brady's going to be a less annoying Tony Romo when announcing. Tony Romo's the guy who, don't get me wrong, he knows ball for sure, but he's pretty annoying with it, though. Tom Brady knows ball, but he's also just going to be less annoying with it. There's no other way to really put it. He's just very simple with it, and he just explains it basically crystal clear at that point. And I don't know. I'm excited to see that, too. I think it'll be nice. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Keaton. Oh, man. Did you see that? Anthony, did you miss that, or did you see it? Oh, okay.
No, I saw it.
Added a little bit. I mean, that's crazy. Speak about crazy, though. Dude, Bill Belichick, I owe you a major apology. I was not familiar with your game. This is insane.
Bill Belichick
is reportedly dating a 24-year-old former cheerleader named Jordan Hudson. Billy, I was not familiar with your game, homie.
He still got it.
This is what Bill listens to when he walks into a club. I be popping bottles,
sparkles and champagne. VIP my section, royalty. Dude, I get a gap. God. Like, I look at this girl too. I'm like, damn, she's pretty hot. And Bill Belichick is dating her.
Yeah. Do you guys see the video of him walking out of her house with his shirt off?
Dude, it's just blasphemous.
Like, they have that too, which is hilarious.
I don't know what to say at this point, man. These girls, they get all the money. I mean, I'm not trying to be like sexist or anything or controversial, but fuck. What damn, is dude. There in Bill Belichick? Like, genuinely, I don't understand it. Besides the money.
Money. He's got clout.
He does.
He's got clout, dude. Bro's got... Oh, bro's literally this, bro. I mean, bro's literally got Riz. He's... Like...
He's got.
I don't know what you want.
Like
that.
What's the word? No, dude. What is it?
Nice. Oh, that word. Yeah. No, he's just got this.
There's a saying. He doesn't speak a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But he has that riz with it. He's just very calm. What I'm trying to say is Bill Belichick. He doesn't speak a lot, but hey, man, when he does speak, he has intentions with it, and he rizzed up a pretty hot 24-year-old. Crazy story.
Dog.
Good for him.
Dog. Got that dog in him.
I thought you were that dog. But hey, we talked about the UFL earlier, so I'm going to bring this up. Is the
a UFL man a few words?
Opportunity?
Shit, I'm sorry.
No.
I said that earlier.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Do you want to cut this?
Whatever. Yeah, I already cut it. You're good. Go ahead and start whenever.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the UFL a little bit earlier. Again, we're not going to talk about Tom Brady, but honestly, he has been really entertaining. And speaking about entertaining with the UFL, is the UFL a legit opportunity for players to show they can play in the NFL? The reason I say this, because the UFL just announced that 8 players have signed with NFL teams. Not to say they've signed on the actual team, because we have to see them go through training camp and everything to make the actual team. And last year, I think we saw 7 of them do that. So again, dude, the UFL continues to get this kind of bright light shined on their actual league itself. And some of these guys are legit playing for these teams. So it says the UFL announced that defensive end Jalen Redmond signed with the Vikings, cornerback Gerrion Conley signed with the Cowboys, guard Liam Fornato, I don't know, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, signed with the Patriots. And then there's a couple other guys. Funny enough, the Cowboys actually signed 2 or 3 of them. That's the most they've done all offseason. Hey, we don't want to call y'all out, but we will if we have to. Fuck them boys. You guys are doing more with the UFL than you have with actual players that have proved shit. But 8 players, dude. 8 players. I think it's a legitimate place where they can go from, you know, guys that aren't really shown much to, hey, I could play at a level that's competitive. Competitive enough to compete in the NFL and possibly give them a shot. And we're seeing that with 8 guys. I think that's really cool. I don't know. And the UFL
is
kind of different than what we've seen in the past. I think it's pretty entertaining, but I think it could develop into something that's fun to watch in the offseason. I think we give it some time. They're doing the right things. And again, we see these players. They come out of college. They play on the NFL teams for a little bit. They don't have much success. And then they do this, and they play well in the UFL against guys that are good athletes. They're competitive. They're showing they're competitive, and they could possibly play in the NFL. So I think it's cool. Shout out to the UFL, man. Getting Tom Brady on there, too, is epic. Straight up.
Yeah. Well, they Jake Bates is expected to sign with the Lions. Hopefully with the next few days, the kicker from the UFL who drilled 60-yard field goals.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was going out of style. Yeah, I was watching the UFL championships in my little cell. We get like a 3x3 TV, but watching it, there was actually for the San Antonio team, there was a player named Tease Tabor. And I was like, man, that name sounds so familiar. Why? And I Googled his name and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He played for Seattle for like 2 years. So, I mean, a lot of these guys are like, you know, ex-NFL players trying to make it back, you know. And I think what's really fun is it's that G League energy, right? Like you can find random little and I think what's important is like the sustainability of this. You know, we saw with the USFL, we've seen with the XFL, like there was too many things going on at too many times, not enough talent in these leagues because they were split amongst two, and organization and structure was really bad. Scheduling was
very bad.
Marketing wasn't very great. Bad. And so the UFL, they've combined both. They've combined the talent. Everything has just been a lot more streamlined. And even the championship game was nice. Like the quality of everything was nice. What I really enjoyed about this and what I actually think they do right that the NFL doesn't is give you a better insight on players after something happens. And so oftentimes they would put like a mic right next to a quarterback who just threw a crucial interception, and they're watching the play, and he's like, damn it, fuck. And he like throws it down.
Like
you get to see
it. I like that. Yeah.
Or they throw it. Yes, they interview the coach during the game, or a running back runs in a touchdown. He comes back to the sideline, and they ask him about that play, and you get like an interview the second it happens.
Right, right.
I think that's so cool that the NFL, you know, doesn't do that, and the UFL is like, hey, we'll We're going to make it a fan fun sport. And it's been good.
We've been seen good. The NFL take a lot of things from the UFL in this offseason. A bunch of rules, the kickoff rules specifically. So
they're going to take players too. They're going to take players.
And players, yeah. No. Shout out to the eight players, though, man. I hope you guys make a team.
Yeah. Shout out to them.
Man. Well, moving on. So we've talked about this a few times now, but are wide receivers getting too greedy with contracts? Now, the Browns and wide receiver Amari Cooper are struggling right now to agree on length and security of a contract extension because Amari Cooper is asking for a buttload of money. I'm not exactly too sure how much right now, but we can only imagine it's going to be like in that range.
It's got to be in the 25 mil range. Yeah.
Yeah. Or higher. Like,
I'm going to say this. And I made a video specifically myself on wide receivers. I think Amari, again, this is not a hot take in my opinion. I think he's the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. Him and Mike Evans. Those are the two to me. But when you look at this, it's like, okay, Amari's a little bit older than these guys. He's a little bit older. How old is Amari Cooper? 29?
Old.
30. Amari is 30. Yeah. He's 30, and he's looking for a new contract. He's seen that this wide receiver market has boomed. But I think it's different than a lot of the other wide receivers because he's a vet. He's a vet. JJ wasn't a vet. Who else did we get to see? We're seeing Brandon Ayuk right now. He's not a vet. CeeDee Lamb, he's not a vet. I mean, even some of the guys that we saw potentially just sign a franchise tag, T. Higgins, who we'll talk about later, like he's not a vet. Amari Cooper has proved himself year in and year out to the point now where it's like he needs to be on a winning team if he wants to win anything, right? But again, the Browns, a lot of these teams have this problem with cap space, and the Browns are one of these teams. And to me, I love Amari. I think the wide receiver market is way too expensive right now. Sorry, I just dropped my pen. I think it's way too expensive right now. And if Amari wants anything more than 25, I'm not giving it to him. Even if he is the most underrated player in the league, underrated wide receiver in the league, excuse me, he's not worth more than 25. And realistically, I wouldn't sign him to more than a 2, maybe 3-year contract. You see what happens when these players get to 30, man. 30 is typically that spot.
Yeah.
I love Amari.
Scientifically speaking, your athletic peak is 29 years old. And that does ring true because last year he put up, I don't know if it was necessarily a career high, but I will find that out right now. But he put up 1,250 yards on 5 touchdowns and 72 receptions. The year before.
Yeah, let's not get it twisted either. He wasn't playing with a good quarterback.
No.
He was playing with nobodies.
Yep. Yards-wise, that was his best year.
He also played 15 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Highest average he's ever had. Again, the touchdowns were a little bit down. But, dude, he's had a phenomenal career. Phenomenal career.
Yep, I agree.
I think he's worth 25. Anything more, I'm questioning them. But, again, it's the Browns.
It's just the age, too, right?
Yeah. What happened with Deshaun, dude.
Yeah. I agree. And I think now they're hesitant to give out that big contract. So, I'm sure he'll get something. My guess is it's probably a 2-year contract.
Who did they? Oh, no. Well, I shouldn't say no.
Well, they brought in Jerry Jeudy.
I guess Joe Flacco did play last year and he played well, but he's not an elite quarterback. Let's just say that, at least now in his time. So,
yeah. Joe Flacco.
But okay, Amari Cooper getting 1,250 yards is very impressive with Joe Flacco, who's fucking 40 or damn near 40.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But again, Anthony, to answer your question, yes, getting way too greedy. NFL, way too greedy. All these contracts, literally every position. And we're going to go right into it. One of our next stories, you're going to say, Anthony, we'll continue through with all these. But quarterback, dude, even last year, we saw outside linebackers. This year, we see quarterback, wide receivers, running backs. It's every single big position besides maybe O-line. But then again, we saw Trent Williams last week say that he wants a new contract after this year. So these guys see money, they want money, man, and that's the NFL.
Right. Well, going into the next topic then, Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins has signed his franchise tag and is expected to report to training camp later this summer. Now, I guess my question is, are the Bengals actually going to produce and perform this season? And will T. Higgins actually play well this season? Keaton, I would love to direct this question to you because also coming off of, a former fantasy player as well. So you obviously watched him play a lot too and yeah. he wasn't good last season. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think he's going to play better? You know, obviously Joe Burrow is healthy again now. We have Ja'Marr Chase as well on the Bengals. What are your thoughts on this?
Do I think Ta'Marrice William Higgins will be good this year? I do. I think it really depends on the health of Joe Burrow. And, you know, saying Joe Burrow is healthy right now is cool, but again, and I've said this again and again and again and again, Joe Burrow can't stay healthy. He hasn't been healthy for a full season. Do I think T. Higgins is a 1,400 yard receiver? Absolutely not. I think he's an 1,100 yard receiver at his peak. Obviously, I know he put up some gaudy numbers in the last few years, except for last year. But I mean, Tyler Boyd's only getting better. Ja'Marr Chase is a dog. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. But again, all right, guys, you guys can criticize me about that. I've been in jail for whatever.
I'm not trying to be big, but.
No, you're good. No, you're good. But I know, and okay, now that you're saying that, I do think T. Higgins will significantly be better than last year. How good will that be? I don't know. But he's only 25.
Dude.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
It's kind of hard to agree with you.
Because do you think he'll be worse?
I think he's going to be much better. Much better.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's
I'm not agreeing with you with the 1,200. I think he's almost a lock for 1,200.
Never put up 1,100.
Dude, I'm looking at his team right now. Oh, wait, I'm looking at Ja'Marr.
He's never put up more than 1,100 yards in his career.
Uh-oh, Zach.
He's not a, I mean, he.
Yeah,
I mean. But again, I mean, he didn't play. Yeah, I mean, he only played 12 games, so he wasn't healthy. The team wasn't healthy. The team for the first 7 weeks was awful. And yeah, he horrible. What went like 3 weeks out of the year with zero catches?
I'll say season. I remember week one.
Ruined my fantasy season.
T. Higgins got Keaton 0 points in week one. Yep. I remember that.
I will say this though.
Yeah, I should have known.
And this was before I accidentally clicked on Ja'Marr Chase. To look at his stats, like you said, he's never had 1,100. But I think T. Higgins is not properly used sometimes. I think T. Higgins should damn near average 10 touchdowns a year. Throw the ball up to him every fucking time. That man comes down with it every time. Every time. And again, if you have a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, it's hard. It truly is hard. But this year, it's going to be interesting. I think T. could easily have 11. I mean, you look at their team, they don't have Tyler Boyd, like we said. Ja'Marr Chase is coming back, we hope. He's still kind of iffy with his contract. They got rid of Joe Mixon, which was a big guy. Zach Moss is decent, but he's not like Joe Mixon. So I think T is going to take over a big part of that offense, and realistically, he should have 10 touchdowns. Like, that's the type of guy that he should be. He's not going to have 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 yards. He's a go up and get it type of guy, which if the Bengals don't use him like that, that's on them. That's on them. But that's how he should be used.
Okay.
I'm sorry though, Keaton, that he ruined your fantasy team last year.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I've
accepted it. You didn't get last.
I did not get last.
That's all that matters.
However, if I did, I would have done.
I'm excited to talk about fantasy. That's gonna be fun.
I'm so excited to talk about fantasy.
I forgot that we get to talk about fantasy. Yeah, that's close. That's close.
Ja'Marr Chase moving on into our
when I draft T. Higgins, I will not be drafting T. Higgins.
Yeah, I will be.
Well, moving into our last topic, are quarterbacks getting paid too much? And Zach, we talked about this a little bit, you know, a few topics ago now. But let me dive deeper into what I mean by this. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars have reached an agreement on a deal worth $275 million over 5 years with $200 million guaranteed. Now, before you guys say anything else, there are now 9 quarterbacks being paid more than Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, it's fucking ridiculous. That list is crazy, too. I'm going to say two things. One, number one, yes, they're getting paid way too much. Trevor Lawrence does not deserve that. Don't care if he had the highest drop percentage EPA percentage. He was the number one quarterback on that list. So I understand it. I understand it. But I don't care. Trevor Lawrence is not worth that much money. He's not, dude. And that's the thing to me. I'm like, dude, it's way too much. Jared Goff, in my opinion, wasn't worth that much either. And I'm like sitting here thinking Trevor Lawrence is getting paid more than Jared Goff. The big issue to me specifically is if you look at that top 10 list, I think 6 to 7 of them have either one playoff win or zero. One or zero.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff, he's proven it with a couple of teams. At least he can win a couple playoff games. That's not to say he doesn't choke, but Justin Herbert's on that list. Kyler Murray's on that list. Dak is on that list. Now we have Trevor Lawrence, who's won one because they played the Chargers, who choked. He threw 4 interceptions in the first fucking half. It's, dude, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. Patrick Mahomes being the 9th. Okay, I'll say this. Patrick Mahomes being the 9th highest paid quarterback in the league, to me, is more surprising than that whole list in itself. Just listening to that is crazy. Some of the players, I'm like, I could see it talent-wise, but just seeing the list in front of me when I did look at it, and Patrick Mahomes 9th, knowing he's the best quarterback in the league by a mile, it just shows as to why they're successful and why quarterbacks are getting paid way too much, man. Way too much.
Well, it's also just like, I mean,
the market too.
The market's insane. I mean, the market is absolutely insane. Like, I think if, you know, if like Jared Goff was the first guy to get like a $50 million contract or like a $40 million contract, I'd be like, okay, maybe that's a little much, right? But Patrick Mahomes set the bar, right? And we saw that one time with Russell Wilson when he became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And then 4 years later was the 5th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. All it takes is one guy to reset the market. And this is, you know, kind of, this is kind of common with everything. Like we're seeing with Brandon Ayuk right now, which I have a small little thing I'll jump into next, but it's just, I mean, I get it. I get it. And honestly, I think Patrick Mahomes signing a 10-year contract, probably a business decision-wise, the worst thing he could have done. Because he, I agree.
It's
not that he's missing out. That
he's getting, yeah.
Oh, he's, I mean, Oakley's giving him $50 million a year probably.
Before I go into this, Keaton, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but.
You're good.
Oh my God. I got to read this out, dude. I got to read it out. I'm going to go from 15 and up. Derek Carr is 15th with a 4-year, $150 million contract. Dak, this is wrong. I'm pretty sure Dak has been higher, but wait, when was this updated? Hold on. Maybe he is June 13th. Okay. I guess Dak is 14th. But okay. Then we go into Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones at 12, Josh Allen at 11, Kirk at 10, Patrick Mahomes at 9, Deshaun Watson at 8. I completely forgot about that. Oh my God.
Kyler Murray Deshaun at Watson 7. Got one of the worst contracts.
Jalen at 6, Lamar at 5, Justin Herbert at 4, Jared Goff at 3. Trevor and Joe Burrow are tied for 1 and 2. So we look at a lot of those guys, not a lot of playoff success. Not a lot. No.
Yeah.
Not a lot, man. So yes, they're getting way too much.
Josh Allen's going to get a bag. Josh Allen's going to get a big fat bag too soon. Oh, so. Yeah.
He will.
He's going to be pretty soon.
Well, I did want to bring up two things. We're talking about contracts a little bit, so I thought this is relevant. Zach, you're on TikTok. Anthony, you're on TikTok. Did you guys see the Brandon Ayuk video by any chance?
I did.
I did not, actually.
So Brandon Ayuk posted a video, which I'll add in post for those who want to watch it. And it said he called Jaden Daniels on FaceTime, and Jaden Daniels like, "What's up, bro? What's going on?" And Brandon Ayuk basically told him, "They don't want me back, bro. I swear to God." I can't play the audio right now because I don't have access to it, but yeah, pretty wild. I really think he's gone. I'm actually going to listen to the full video.
I will say this. Adam Scheffler the next day went on air. I don't know. I think it was just ESPN. I'm not sure what show it was on, but he said, and I quote, 49ers absolutely want him back. So I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding, but he said, there's a lot of noise. Hold on a second. Howard, nope, that's not him. This is him. I can tell you that Brandon Ayuk is not accurate in that statement. The 49ers absolutely want him back. The problem is, at what price do they want him back? So again, the big thing is, and then he says the wide receiver market has exploded here recently. It's gone up.
Exactly.
After it continues. The offers and deals have been higher, I believe, than what the 49ers have offered Brandon Ayuk. So Brandon Ayuk is taking what the 49ers have offered, and he's saying the fact that they don't want to pay me like Justin Jefferson, they don't want me here. That's not true. They do want them there. It's just about the number. So again, this is the same fucking drama we saw with Debo. It's the same drama that we've seen with all these guys. They become babies in the offseason when they don't get their money. And realistically,
I agree.
28 is the most I'm paying. 28 is the most.
28. I agree.
Number.
Well, I'm going to finish with this. You were talking about money and being crybabies and greedy and stuff like that. A few days ago, there were some talks about NFL Sunday Ticket, right? Because for the you know, average consumer, Sunday Ticket is beyond expensive. It's $400 for, you know, you get quite a few games, but you only get to watch it. You know, it's 7 hours commercial free football for 15 weeks, 16 weeks or whatever it is. Right. I'm sorry. 18 weeks. I don't know what I'm talking about there. ESPN proposed recently lowering Sunday Ticket's price to $70 to make the consumer, like, to basically encourage everyone to buy it. Because $70, I mean, the amount of people that would buy it if it was $70 would be absurd. The NFL shut it down. And then they said, well, what if we did single team deals? So let's say you live in a market, I live in a market for the Seattle Mariners, but I can't watch their baseball games. But if I was able to pay for a single team deal, then I'd be able to watch them more often, right? The NFL rejected that idea, right? So you either get Sunday Ticket for $400, you get nothing. So Roger Goodell ended up, after some controversy, cleared it up and basically said, this is a premium product. We have been clear throughout the day. It is a premium product, not just on pricing, but on quality. Fans make that choice whether they wanted it or not. I'm sure there were fans who said it. I'm sure there were fans who got it who still said it was too costly for them. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. The commissioner's just being an absolute doucher about
third year in a row raising
Sunday Ticket prices, which also, I'll be honest, when you think about it, pricing of everything is going up. And I know Sunday Ticket's a little different because it doesn't correlate with contracts. But as these contracts start to get more valuable, jerseys are going to increase in prices. Food sales are going to increase in prices. Ticket sales are going to become exorbitant. So
the consumer, man, we're getting fucked.
Mm-hmm. The consumer always loses. Shit consumer.
Speaking about not getting fucked, this will be the last story because you just reminded me. Hard Knocks just came out and said they're going to be doing an addition where it's the AFC North. That's pretty sick, dude. And I guess there's a couple of additions that they're going to have. But, I mean, it's going to be pretty sick to be inside the best division. You know, we're going to have access to the best division. And some inside access to that division might get a little bit ghetto. And maybe not ghetto is the word, but arguably aggressive, because that division is known to be aggressive and certain ways, specifically in practices and especially in training camp if they have scrimmages. So I'm excited for that.
Agreed.
I think that'll be really cool.
I agree. Hold on. So the jury just came out. So hold on, boys. I'm about to hear the verdict.
Not guilty.
Thank God.
Thank God.
In the end, who continues? The sparkles in Jermaine. VIP my section, royalty looking sexy. You know that be my thing.
Oh, we're free, man. Motherfuckers. Hey, first day outside beat, man. We're out. Wow. We're free, man. Content continues.
Wow. Let's get it.
Hey, thank you, boss. Appreciate you. I'll pay you later. So.
Sweet.
We're good.
Cool. There's another lawsuit happening. Well, that is all for today's episode. Congratulations, Keaton, on being not guilty during this trial.
Finally, bro. Finally.
So that means for you viewers and for people who are watching, more settled down in the end zone content will be coming weekly still.
The show goes on. The show goes. I don't even have to break out a jingle. The show goes on. The show goes on. The show goes on.
Hey, actually, I don't think we've actually announced this. We have our own Instagram page now. It's just not settled down. It's at In the End Zone Podcast. So if you guys have not followed that and settled down, please like, follow all of that, including the Good Old Hockey Podcast Instagram as well. Subscribe, leave us some comments, and we'll catch y'all next week with whatever Keaton has for his script then.
Peace. No script, just life. Peace.